This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
House Commerce and Energy will now come to order. I'd like to welcome everybody here today. Welcome those that are listening over the internet. If you've got a cell phone, laptop, some sort of a device that makes little noises, please turn the sound down or shut them off so we don't interrupt the testimony today. With that, I'll have the secretary call the roll.
Representatives Beal.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
McCleary.
Here.
Milstead.
Here.
Ms. Gibbons.
Here.
Perry.
Here.
Sullivan, excused. Wagsness, excused. Weiss.
Here.
Willitson, excused. Zickman.
Here.
Gosh, excused. And Rounce.
Here.
We have a quorum.
We do have a quorum. And with that, my usual corner person there who makes the motion on the minutes isn't here. Representative Milstead makes a motion to approve the minutes, and that is seconded by Representative Ms. Gibbons. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all in favor of approval of the minutes, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Minutes are so approved. Welcome, everybody, again to Commerce and Energy Committee. We've got three bills up today. I'm going to do a shift of the bills. I'm going to move 1283 to the top. It'll only take a couple minutes to do that bill. I want to put a large amendment on it, then we'll defer action on it till Friday. So that's going to be a change, and we'll take the rest of them in order. And with that, if you are going to testify on any of the bills today, please sign in at the back. If you have anything to distribute to the committee, any handouts, please have the pages assist you with that. I see we got one page here. The other one running an errand. Why don't you come on up to the front here and tell us who you are, where you're from, and any plans after high school.
Hello, my name is Carter Dreyer. I go to Warner High School in Warner, South Dakota. I plan to attend DWU in criminal justice.
Go Tigers.
Go Monarchs. Warner Monarchs. Next, we got our other one back. Why don't you just introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Sarah Hancock. I'm a senior here in Pierre at TF Riggs. And next year, I'm going to be going to Center College in Kentucky to double major in chemistry and art history.
And it's good to have you you kids here today or with us this week. This is your last week, and time flies. If you recognize the last name of that last page, she will have a longer commute home pretty soon because moving back to Idaho, correct? So, with that, is there any personal privileges before we get going? I'm kind of stalling until we get some of the other people here, but we'll just get going. I know Wagness has got a big bill up in Senate State Affairs. Nobody else mentioned a bill anyplace. Jimmy Willitson and Gosh. So I expect them to show up sooner or later. Any personal privileges? I will just announce that I'm being watched again by my in-laws. They made that long drive down Oneida Street, made a left on Broadway here to the Capitol to visit Jeannie and Marv Schweigert are back there, and they report back to my wife as to what goes on, so be nice to me. And with that, we are going to take the bill. I'm going to take 1283 first, and then we'll go to 1125 and 1070. With that, I'm going to start with House Bill 1283. This is an act to revise the liability of a guarantor. Proponent testimony on 1283. Good morning, Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Committee. I'm Representative Kevin Jensen from District 16, and 1283 it does have quite an amendment on it, and basically it appears to be a hog house. It really, the intent of the bill did not change with the rewriting. What we ended up having is some miscommunication in the intent in the writing of the bill. The original language didn't really meet what I was trying to accomplish, so LRC rewrote it for me, and it does appear as a large amendment, but really it's still true to the original intent.
With that, I'm going to address the committee here. The amendment is identified
1283A, I believe.
1283A. Representative Milstead.
I'll make a motion to approve.
We have a motion to amend 1283 with 1283A by Representative Milstead. That is seconded by Representative Johnson. I think Johnson yelled it first. I don't know if you've got any comments to make, Representative Milstead. Any other comments? What I would like is to have the bill in the form, the language that the prime sponsor wants it in. And then what I will do is I will calendar it for Friday so everybody gets a chance to look it over. We don't have a whole lot to do on Friday either, so we'll just move it to then. So any other comments on Amendment 1283A? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. 1283 is so amended. With that, I'm going to defer action on this until Friday, Representative. So it will be on the agenda for Friday.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move on. Let's move on to House Bill 1125. This is an act to revise conditions for selling non-temperature controlled baked goods without a license. Chair will ask for proponent testimony on House Bill 1125.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the House Committee. I'm bringing you today an easy bill. It's been my fun bill to work on. Most of you have heard me talking about my home bakery bill.
Representative, could you please identify yourself for the listeners at
home? Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's fine.
Nancy York, District 5, from the cold and snowy northeast part of South Dakota. Representing the Home Bakery Association this morning and the entrepreneurs from across the state who have listened to Governor Noem's South Dakota being open for business and are trying to make that happen in their little corner of the world. This is an easy bill. It's a bill that we already have. It's just got a couple corrections to it. And I'll let someone else explain it to you, but I first want to offer you an amendment, 1125B. It has been published. It should be on your screen as well as on the board up here. Very simple amendment brought by the Department of Health, and they just wanted the identifying factor changed the way it was listed in the bill. It was identified as the home bakeries should apply for a number and have that number published on their product. The Department of Health would prefer that they have their name and connection information on their package because it was creating a big load for the Department of Health to research all these numbers. If you have any questions.
If I can ask, this is 1125B, is that correct?
1125B, that's
and
correct.
And again, as we had with the previous bill, I'd like this to be in the language that you as a sponsor would like it in, so I would.
So moved.
The Representative Gosch moves Amendment 1125B, and that is seconded by Representative Perry. Do you have any comments on that? Any comments? Seeing none, I'm going to ask you to support the amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. 1125 is so amended with 1125B. So, Representative, proceed if you've got somebody else to come up.
All right. Thank you very much for accepting that amendment. It makes the bill now perfect. And so I'm going to turn the mic over now to a lady that talked to me last summer about starting this bill, about making the changes in the home bakery bill that we have on the books, and she's going to come up and explain it all to you. Thank you very much. If you have any questions, I'll be here.
Thank you, Representative York. Any other proponents to House Bill 1125 as amended?
Sorry, I'm Andrea Lindberg from Watertown, and I own and operate a home bakery called Dre's Desserts that I opened in December of 2017, and it's been extremely successful. The demand is there, so it's going well, but I feel that there's some roadblocks in the current law that's holding me back from actually running my bakery as a real business. The first one being that there's an annual sales limitation of $5,000. And I did hit that limit both years I've been in business. So I am constantly denying orders to potential customers just so I can stay under that $5,000 limit. That also makes it hard. You know, as you know, with the price of ingredients, when ingredients goes up, prices need to go up, which means I'm going to serve less customers if I have to raise the prices on my goods to stay under that $5,000 limit. You know, by removing that limit, it not only allows me to make more money, it allows the state and the city to make more money because I have to collect and remit sales tax. So it's a win-win situation for all parties involved. Another restriction is on the deliveries, and at this time, I'm not allowed to deliver my products. Customers have to come to my home, and I was kind of told that the reason for that is so people can see my home kitchen and know where their products are being produced, but that doesn't then hold weight because I can also sell at farmers markets and vendor fairs, and those people do not get to come to my home and see where their products are produced. So I'd like to be able to make deliveries. Sometimes it's more convenient for me to make a delivery. Sometimes it's more convenient for the customer. And just sometimes it's safer, you know, if, you know, you don't want strangers coming to your house, especially if I'm home alone. You know, I don't know these people, and it's nice if you can meet in a public place or deliver it. Another thing is I do take on some wedding orders, and you can imagine the stress that it is when you hand over 300 cupcakes and 400 cookies to somebody and hope that they're going to get them safely to the wedding venue. It's a little scary, and I'd prefer if I could be able to deliver them to the customer at the venue. And then the third one is pop-up sales. And that's basically just being able to go into another business and set up a booth and sell my product. I've actually been approached by two small businesses to do that. And I've been told by the Department of Health I cannot do that because I can only sell my goods that are open to everybody to participate in. And so by doing a pop-up sale, I'm being hand-selected by the business to come in there and do that. So, you know, when sales are lagging, it'd be nice to be able to go support another small business, set up a pop-up sale, and, you know, sell some product. And just back to that sales limitation, you know, trying to stay under that 5,000. Valentine's Day is a huge holiday for me. I made 963 cookies last week out of my home kitchen. And so that's about 20% of my sales. And so now I will actually have to close my business for several months this year to, you know, cut off my sales to make sure that I stay within that 5,000. Obviously, that's not an ideal way to do business, is to shut down your business for a month here or there. You know, so I took off the rest of February and March. I'm not doing sales just to, you know, offset, you know, the large amount of money that I made in February. So.
Well, good. Thank you. I was thinking maybe there would be some something to pass around so we could see the product samples.
Had I known I could bring samples and make it not look like a bribe, I would have had them.
I'm gonna put that one on Representative York. She should have talked to you. But thank you. Are there any other proponents to House Bill 1125? Any other proponents as amended? Any other proponents? Seeing none, I'm going to open up the committee questions. Representative Beal.
Question for
you. Is there any opponents? There wasn't anybody signed up to be an opponent. Since there are no opponents, now I'll ask for questions, Representative Beal.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for the cupcake lady.
The cookie lady, actually.
I just have a dumb question.
Sure.
Do you put alcohol in your cupcake?
I don't, but I did ask the Department of Health, and they told me that I could.
No, you can. We had a bill a number of years ago, and we're just bringing back old memories.
You can remember it. I can't. Are there any other questions of the committee, Representative Perry?
This will be for the sponsor of the bill. No, this is an ingredient question. This is just a simple question, I think, and that is, what was the intent of this legislation for baked goods without a license? What is the intent of the, or what is the intent of the today's law the way it is? And then, exactly what are you looking to change it to? Because it just kind of like 5,000 isn't enough. Is 6,700 the right number, or 12,900?
Well, I think the way the bill is written, it's just open. Just like if you went into a business, do you want the government to tell you how much you can make? You know, we want people to earn a good living. We want people to earn as much money as they possibly can, and that's good for our sales tax. Did that answer your question?
Follow up.
I'll do a follow up, and that is, Representative, what I think is this is a really good idea, and it's a really good question, and it's a really good concept. But I still go back to my original question, which is, what was the intent of this originally, you know, to get to the point where we are today? And were they trying to cap it at a certain point? Because is there a point where you're a commercial business?
Well, I don't have the exact history, but I did have a phone call from a lady that said she was part of the group that originally started it quite a few years ago, and it was called the Pickle Bill. And it was ladies that wanted to sell their home canned products. And I don't know, you know, I certainly wouldn't claim to understand what the people in those seats were saying at that day that they said of that $5,000. But, you know, I'm not quite sure where the $5,000 marker came from. I don't know if there'd be someplace in the archives we could look back. I don't know.
A follow-up. How long ago did the pickle ladies get together?
She told me it was the early 2000s. I don't know. Probably none of us have been here. Representative Rounds, I don't know if you can remember talking about.
If I can jump in, I think I remember this legislation from back in the early
2000s. Yeah, that's what she said, early 2000s. She didn't remember exactly what year, but they were all for the bill, too. She thought it made good sense. And I heard from a couple other home bakers, too, that said thank you for taking it.
We can probably look up the statute under the codified law, and it'll show you the last year it was amended. So if somebody wants to look up 34-1837, that would answer your question.
Mr. Chair, it was in 2010 that 2007?
2010.
Oh, 2010.
No wonder I remembered it. Anyways.
You were just a mere child, Representative.
I didn't shave yet. Any further questions? Representative Milstead.
Thank you. For the cupcake lady, sorry, I didn't remember your name. It's going to stick for a while, Mr. Chairman. It says commercial, not produced in a commercial kitchen. But is your kitchen a certified kitchen that's subject to inspection?
No. Due to law, you have to bake it out of your residential kitchen. And the state of South Dakota doesn't require an inspection for the home bakeries. Some states do require a one-time inspection, but that's the whole point of having a home bakery versus a commercial, is that you're not being inspected by the Department of Health. And so that's why the main difference is what I can offer. And I can't offer anything that needs to be refrigerated. So no cheesecakes, no cream cheese frostings, that kind of thing. So the Department of Health limits what I can produce out of that kitchen.
Follow-up?
Follow-up, yes. So you mentioned cheesecake, but isn't part of this because that's not a temperature-controlled item?
That is a temperature-controlled good. Cheesecake,
okay, so not
is.
Doing
so that doesn't fall under this. I can't make it.
One more follow-up. So then follow-up. The only license you have would be a sales tax license?
Right. I don't need any sort of business license. I just have a sales tax license. Yep.
Further questions? And I think one of the stipulations of this is they have to put the disclaimer label on that advises people this is made at home. So any other questions of the committee? Seeing none, I'm going to close public testimony, open it up to committee discussion and or action on House Bill 1125 as amended. Representative Gosch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Move, do pass.
Second.
We have a motion from Representative Gosch, do pass on House Bill 1125 as it amended, and that motion was seconded by Representative Beal. Comments on that motion, Representative Gosch?
Just thank you for bringing this. This seems pretty common sense to me. I don't know why it would have ever been that way, even after I heard your amazing explanation. So I urge you guys vote for this, and let's put it on consent.
Any further comments on the do pass motion? I would hope that we all support this piece of legislation. I think when the governor is talking about, you know, let's expand, let's get more business in South Dakota. This is where people start, is out of their kitchen. And eventually she'll probably have to move to a building downtown, and hopefully we'll be delivering goodies to us every year to make sure we do the right thing. So I'm going to ask for your support. With that, the question is, do pass on House Bill 1125 as amended. All in favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Beal.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
McCleary.
Aye.
Milstead.
Aye.
Ms. Gibbons.
Aye.
Perry.
Aye.
Sullivan.
Aye.
Wagsness, excused. Weiss.
Aye.
Willitson.
Aye.
Zickman. Gosh.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
12, yay.
Having an affirmative vote of the committee, 12-0, House Bill 1125 is amended. We'll move to the floor with the due pass recommendation. And without objection, I will put this on consent calendar. Is there any objection? Hearing none, House Bill 1125 will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation and be placed on the consent calendar. Thank you. And our final bill for the day is House Bill 1070. This is an act to modify requirements regarding the need to have a license to install certain electrical wiring. Chair will ask for proponent testimony on House Bill 1070.
Mr. Chair, fellow committee members, Herbert Otten, District 6. Today I bring you House Bill 1070, and I do have an amendment, and it is up online. And this amendment...
This would be 1070A, correct?
That is correct, Mr. Chair.
Okay, and with that... We have a motion to amend with 1070A from Representative Carl Perry, seconded by Representative Beal. Let's put this in the language that the sponsor would like so he can talk about the bill. So is there any comments? Hearing none, the question is amend House Bill 1070 with 1070A. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. House Bill 1070 is so amended. Proceed, Representative.
Thank you. The amendment actually come from the Electrical Commission, so it was their advice to do this, and I will go through the bill and the verbiage that came with the amendment. Current statute, in my opinion, already allows this, but as you read it, you know, there's always a difference of opinion between the commissions and what I think or anybody else may think. And currently, the statute reads, license not required for wiring owner, resident, or farmstead, inspection and fee. Failure to report as a misdemeanor. No license is required of an individual installing electrical wiring in his own residence or farmstead. And see, that's where I think it's pretty clear that it's allowable, but it's interpreted differently. So if you look at my language, I am adding, including on the premises of a single-family dwelling unit that is in the process of being constructed, if the person owns the premise and intends to occupy the premise as the person's resident when construction is complete. So if you remember last year, I had a bill that dealt with plumbing, the exact same scenario. This verbiage in here is the exact same that we added into the plumbing code last year. So it mirrors it, and there will be no confusion amongst the two. Now, there are some rules already that deal with different aspects of this. And you know, just like the plumbing bill last year, this bill here, you know, if you want to go in and wire your own home, you have to get your permit, and you still have to wire it according to code, still have to get all of your inspections. So everything is all done by code, done the same way as if you hired an electrician to go do it. So it doesn't sidestep any of that. And that would not be my intention to do that, because I would not want to make anything less safe. That's why it all has to be done to code. And if you look in rural, under rule 2040.1401, under the general definitions, subsection 12 talks about an owner's exemption, an exemption from licensing requirements from 36.16.13 for an individual owner is personally installing electrical wiring and fixtures in a residence or farmstead which is owned and resided in by the person installing the electrical wiring or fixtures. So the rule has defined the existing language to the point of where a person cannot wire their own home. Now, they can still do additions and remodelings and things like that because they live in that home, and that's what the rule causes. And if we go to Rule 2044-1907, which is the commission's responsibility to provide inspections for inspection fees paid, number four at the bottom of that says, permits requiring multiple rough-ins and or more than one scheduled final inspection will be charged an additional fee. You know, the concerns always are is that if a homeowner is doing the wiring or the work on their own home, it's going to cause additional work and additional cost to the commission. So they already have the language in place that allows them to charge for an additional inspection because it happens even with the licensed electricians. I'm a contractor. I have licensed electricians on my jobs all the time. They don't always get it right. An inspector's got to come back for an extra inspection on that too. Now, whether they charge them for that or not, I don't know, but it is there to charge for those additional inspections. And Rule 2044-2010 is a minimum fee for requested electrical inspections. A minimum inspection fee for $50 for each inspection, man hour or fraction thereof is charged for electrical inspections. So the fee portion is in rule also, and if you go back to the bill, you'll notice also with the amendments, we added two pieces in there from the recommendations of the Electrical Commission that say the commission shall promulgate rules pursuant to Chapter 126 to establish criteria for authorizing a person to install electrical wiring under this section. And then on the back page, it also promulgate rules to set an allotted number of inspections for each installation under this section. So those are the reasons why they're in there, so they can clean up those rules to make the intents of the bill possible, hopefully after it is passed. So all I'm trying to do at the end of the day is once again allow an individual to do their own work on their own property. You can plumb your own home. You can build your own home. You don't need a license for that. Still have to get the same inspection. So at the end of the day, I don't understand why an individual could not wire their home. So with that, I will stand by for questions, and I will comment and say that J.J. Lynn with the Electrical Commission is here for questioning purposes. So if you have any technical questions with that, he may be the person to ask for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Are there any other proponents to House Bill 1070 as amended? Are there any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1070 as amended? Are there any opponents? Seeing no opponents, I will now ask if there are any questions of the committee, Representative Gosh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the prime sponsor.
Would that be Auden?
Yes. Representative Auden, thank you. You know, we live in an increasing age where the hands-on skills are no longer applying to many of our younger individuals. And in my case, I did learn how to wire, whether right or wrong, for my grandfather and my father. But in those situations, hey, the house hasn't burned down yet. In those situations, I just think I admitted to breaking the law. In those situations, I had help from, say, my cousin and my father. This bill doesn't seem to include them. Would they be breaking the law if they came and helped me, say, wire my basement?
Mr. Representative?
I don't understand why they would. I mean, I don't understand where having somebody to come help you do the work on your home would cause a violation.
Follow up?
In the bill, it says on the person's own residence or farmstead. So that, to me, would include ownership or maintain or mandate ownership in the residence.
Yeah, and Mr. Chair.
Representative Vaughn.
You know, the only person that can pull that permit is the owner of the residence. So that's why it has to be stated that way, because your friends can't pull the permit. You have to be the individual pulling the permit.
Representative Gosh, does that answer your question? Do you have a follow-up? Are there any other questions of the committee? Representative McCleary.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And either for Representative Otten or his phone a friend or however we got here, but my question is entrance insulation in excess of 60 amp capacity. Now, being on a farm and with silo unloaders and you got the big motors, 60 amps, pretty good size. It's a lot of power. That's where I'm having my concern here. That's a huge amount of, and if somebody happens to do something wrong and we don't have that inspector come and we try and do something, I'm a little leery about that. So can you fill me in on
that's
on,
a phone
on that power?
That's
source.
A phone a friend question there. Yeah. For hopefully JJ, he can answer all of those questions for you.
Thank you.
And we'll have Mr. Lindy understand the question.
If I may, okay. Mr. Chairman, JJ Lynn, Executive Director, South Dakota Electoral Commission. With your question, one item that I do believe you said is that it wouldn't be inspected. And just for clarification, I mean, and in that portion of law, it does say or. So it would be if any equipment or greater than 60 amps. So basically everything that's going to go into that installation will be inspected. But the individual doing the installation will be reviewed by our inspectors. Therefore, if there is a incorrect item on that installation, they'll be written up and it'll be corrected. It doesn't release them from the inspection process.
Rather than a clear
follow-up. Yeah, thank you.
Go ahead.
My biggest concern is if someone is remodeling a house or something in a machine shed and does not have someone come. But my point is a 60-amp capacity is pretty good size, correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, so that is where I'm having some issues there with that amount. That amperage, if whether that should have been a little bit lower, because I mean, technically, you can have a 10 or a 15 or a 20, that will run a lot of your small, things. But 60 amp, I'm having a little, I guess, concern about 60 amp. That's a lot of power there. Thank you, I appreciate that.
Was that in a question form, or do you want him to respond?
Yeah, if he would respond, I think most individuals on the committee probably don't understand a 10 or a 15 compared to a 60. If you could give us, please, the difference of those, maybe that'll
certainly
get where I'm going. Thank you.
Mr. Lamb.
And I'm definitely not an expert in the electrical field as far as code. My expertise is more in the administration area, but I can talk in general as far as the amperages. That's a service amperage where I'm not sure what year this bill was written originally, or the statute. Excuse me, not the bill, but the statute. So I think they're even talking about older installations. But with that and the other ORs in that section, it's still allowing for any individual to wire on their own farmstead. With that, instead of the government regulating them of what they have the qualification to install, it allows the individual to know what their limits are. So if they feel that they're working outside their zone, just like Representative Gosh said, that it was a learning experience and how we learn, but they know to get that assistance, or if they don't get that assistance, you're still seeing the end of the process, which is the inspection process.
Does that answer your question? Help? Any other questions of the committee? Representative Willardson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I think to tag along with the former representative question, wouldn't it be that the size of the service entrance where the electrical power is coming in, where, a 60-amp service entrance is fairly small, because in my house, I have two 100-amp service entrances, from that part. So I think that the flavor of your question goes back to it deals with the size of the service entrance on there rather than one circuit that would be, as you said, that's 60 amp service for a motor. That's a big service. Wouldn't that be correct?
Mr. Chairman, that is correct. And that's what I was saying is there's three items that are over there. So basically what the result is everything is inspected. It doesn't change what the actual amperage is of a single piece of equipment. Thank you for that clarification.
Arthur Wellison, follow-up? Are you done?
Well, I just wanted to apologize for being late, Mr. Chair. I was in the Education Committee, and I want you to know it made me thankful that I serve on Commerce and Energy and not Education.
Thank you. Further questions of the committee? Representative Gosh, another question?
I do. It's for the prime sponsor. Please. Just so we're clear, would the cookie lady be able to wire in her own oven?
She's current, Mr. Chair. If she currently lives in that home, she can. This bill only talks about building a new construction home that you are not actually physically residing in yet. So current statute today allows you to rewire your house that you're living in. If you put on an addition or if you do any kind of remodeling, you can do that wiring currently today. You can put on an addition as big as your house and wire that under current statute.
It was intended to be a joke, but it actually brought up a really good question. Pre-mods. So I bring a pre-mod in. Is that considered a new construction, even though I have not lived in it?
A modular home?
Yeah. Prefab or mod, yeah.
Don't know if I could properly answer that question, but they come pre-wired.
Follow up. But in the event I threw it onto a basement in the equal size and was going to have to do all of the wiring and hooking up the prefab,
I would assume you'd be able, if you're, say, you're going to finish off the lower level of that, if you put it on a foundation, I would assume that you would be able to wire that and you put in your service, still get your inspections, pay your fees and all that, do it by code, though. But I would make that assumption, yes, if you move the mod down. That's just an assumption, so don't take that as grace.
That answer your question?
Yeah.
Further questions of the committee? Any further questions? Seeing none, I'm going to close public testimony, and I'll open it up to committee discussion and or action on House Bill 1070 as amended. Representative Beal.
Mr. Chair, I move do pass.
We have a motion from Representative Beal, do pass on House Bill 1070 as amended, and that is seconded by Representative Carl Perry. Comments on that motion, Representative Arch Beal.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair. I think it's a good thing that we go about it this way and have the inspections coincide with this to make sure that things are getting done right. I think it's a great bill. Thank you.
Further comments, Representative Gosh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My problems with the bill are that it doesn't go far enough in some of the things that we had talked about in the questions. That doesn't mean that the bill shouldn't pass because it still is doing the right thing. So I will support it as well. Thank you.
Further comments, Representative McCleary.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I still have some concerns. I'll probably be voting no in committee and see what we come up with within the House. I've had a couple comments from some younger electricians in my district that are very cautious about this, and I guess the question comes, what's life worth? One bad move on a 60 amp or whatever, you don't get a second chance. So I'm still a little bit leery about this one. I will be voting no, but I'll see if it goes to the floor and then decide. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Weiss.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One thing I want to bring up is when you wire an oven in, typically it's wired in a 60-amp circuit. So if you're going to be able to wire your own house, but you can't do a 60-amp circuit, there's a couple of things. You got an electric furnace you're putting in. Sometimes we carry three 60-amp circuits into an electric furnace. You wouldn't be able to wire those things in if you weren't able to do a 60-amp. And as far as getting your buddies to come wire for you or with you, just a standard electrician down the street can't come wire your house. You have to have, he has to be under an electrical contractor who carries the liability. So when you pull out your own building permit, you're pulling out your own liability. So if he comes and helps you, he's helping you as a friend, and he's helping you under your liability. because you're the one wiring it, not him. I think that's my understanding of the way things are. Something to keep your eye on. Currently in the bill, currently in law, you can put your own oven and you can wire your own 60-amp circuits currently, unless it's a new construction that you're building for yourself, and then you can't. And that's all this is trying to do, is bring that in. Everything has to be inspected before you turn power on to it. So I think it's a good bill. I'd encourage a do pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other comments on the do pass motion? Seeing none, the question is, do pass on House Bill 1070 as amended. All in favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Beal.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
McCleary.
No.
Milstead.
Aye.
Ms. Gibbons.
Aye.
Perry.
Aye.
Sullivan.
Aye.
Wagness excused. Weiss.
Aye.
Willitson.
Aye.
Zickman.
Aye.
Gosh.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
Have an affirmative vote of the committee. House Bill 1070 is amended. It will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And with that, we finished our agenda for today. We got three bills left, House bills left, and committee will be hearing those on Friday. And I don't think anything else is coming in, so plan on enjoying your Monday morning if you don't have state affairs. Because I don't think we're going to have a meeting on Monday morning because we really have nothing to do. So with that, Representative Beal.
I had a question.
Ask your question.
What was the vote?
It was 11 to 1.
11 to 1.
Thank you. Representative Carl Perry. We have a motion from Representative Perry to adjourn, seconded by Representative Beal. All those in favor of adjournment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. We are adjourned.